Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. You're lame for 38 years. You want healing. Then a man says, get up and walk. He's asking the impossible. Today, how Jesus can do the impossible in your life, and why we have a very real part to play in seeing the impossible come to pass. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on seven convincing miracles. Today, we're in John chapter 5, learning about Jesus, Lord of our impossibilities, and finding that we must desire being made well.
So I ask you today, do you want to be well? Do you desire the freedom of Christ? Do you finally want to give up all of the lifestyles? And you know what God does is He boxes us in. He takes us through circumstances where we become weary of our sin. He takes us in ways that perhaps we did not expect, exposing really who we are. And all of that to finally get from us the bottom line answer. Yes, Lord, I desire to be healed. I desire to be free. That's number one. Let's go to number two, second condition. We must obey the impossible. Now let's look at the text. Verse 8. Jesus said to him, get up. Get up. Pick up your mat and walk. You know, in those days, a mat was like made of straw. It was a little bed. You could roll the thing up and put it on your shoulder and off you'd be. The man might have said, wait a moment. You heal me, and then I'll get up. You do the miracle. Jesus spoke to him when he was still a paralytic, when he was still an invalid, when he was still lame. Jesus said, get up and walk. And as the man arose to get up to walk, the miracle happened. Jesus sometimes did miracles in that way. For example, in the book of Luke, there's an amazing story of 10 lepers that come to Jesus, and Jesus asked them, do you want to be well? And they said, yes. And then he said this, go show yourselves to the priests. Now, in Old Testament times, when you were well as a leper, you went to the priest and he cleared you and gave you a clean bill of health so that you could be reintegrated into society. Now, here's what the Bible says. As they were going, they were cleansed. Wow. They turned to go. And as they were going, they were cleansed. You see, what Jesus is saying here is that the power, the ability to do the impossible is found in the command that I give you. I supply the power that you need to keep my command. If I ask you to walk, it is because I give you the ability and the strength and the healing to walk. Apart from that, you can't. We are reminded of Augustine's words, are we not, that I've quoted many times. Oh God, command whatever you will, but supply what you command. God, I cannot keep your commandments. I cannot even believe on you. I cannot even repent. If you command me to do it, then you supply that what I need in order to do it. Because of myself, I am an invalid, spiritually speaking. I am dead in trespasses and sins. I am weak. I am helpless. I am selfish. I am bound in sin. If you give the command, you supply what you command. You know, it's interesting in the gospel of the First Thessalonians, I should say, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, keep yourselves free of evil. That's tough to do in today's world, isn't it? It's always been tough, maybe tougher today than ever. And then he says, may the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and may he preserve you blameless, body, soul, and spirit, blameless until the coming of Christ. Wow, what a miracle that takes. And then the next verse says, faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. It is God who does it. So what we do is we obey the command, and as we begin to obey, the blessed Holy Spirit of God grants to us what we do not have. He grants to us the strength. First of all, we have the desire, and then we obey. That's the order. I like to tell the story in British Columbia where there were some prisoners who were in a prison. I guess that's where you'd expect to find them. I'm being very clear here today. And you know, none of them ever tried to break out of the prison. But when the prison was torn down because they wanted to rebuild it, they discovered something, that the walls were painted to look like concrete, but they were wallboard. At any moment, those prisoners, especially two of them together, could have pushed the wall down and walked out. But it looked so formidable. They thought that they were encased in that room in concrete. Nobody ever tried it. I'll tell you what the devil wants to do. He likes to put us in prisons that look as if they are concrete and say, you have to stay here, you have to stay here. Don't you see that you're in an impossible situation and you do not have the strength, you do not have the ability, you do not have the wisdom, you do not have what it takes to be free. No matter what the Bible says, you don't have it. Blessed are those who take God at his word and say, I will obey, I am weak, I am helpless, and the wall is formidable, but with God all things are possible. Rise, take up your mat, and walk, because Jesus spoke, and so you did it. First of all, what we have to do is to want the impossible, to desire it. We must obey the impossible. Thirdly, we must also persist in the impossible. Let's look at the text. This man goes on, and he picks up his mat and he walks. At once the man was cured. It says that in verse 8, he picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath, and so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath, the law forbids you to carry your mat. You know, the Jews, they had all kinds of laws, and they went beyond the Old Testament law. Now, there was a part of that that was commendable, because they said, we are so concerned that you keep the law that we will even add to it to make sure that you keep it. So they had 37 different things you weren't supposed to do on the Sabbath day. I don't think that Jesus would ever ask a man to break the Sabbath law. It was not wrong for him to carry his mat. Now, the Bible did teach that you were not supposed to do the work that you were accustomed to doing on the Sabbath day. But this wasn't something that he was accustomed to do. It wasn't as if, you know, he had a mat-carrying organization so that now they were carrying mats on the Sabbath. They had a new company called the Mat Movers. It wasn't that. The guy was just picking up his mat and going. I mean, there was nothing in the scriptures that would say that you couldn't do that. But to these Jews who had it all nailed down, they said, you are carrying your mat, you're breaking the Sabbath. And he says, well, you know, the man who healed me, he said, take up your mat. They weren't even interested in the healing. They didn't care that this guy was healed. What they were concerned about was he was carrying his mat. And thou shalt not carry thy mat. You know, the remarkable thing is Jesus did this, I think, deliberately to spark this kind of controversy. The first two miracles that we've had in this series of messages on the miracles of John, the miracles that should convince you, they were private miracles. Jesus turns water into wine. Only the servants who drew the water knew, and the disciples. Jesus heals a nobleman's son, and he knows about it for sure, and his servants know about it. But generally speaking, it wasn't even known that Jesus spoke the word, and 20 miles away, a son was healed. Now what Jesus does is a miracle publicly, and this irritates the Jews, and it is this irritation that is going to fester and fester and eventually lead Jesus all the way to the cross. Let's look at what happened here. We pick up the text in verse 16. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but was even calling God his own Father. Now notice this, making himself equal with God. They understood exactly what Jesus was claiming. He claimed to be deity. And we believe that he claimed to be deity because in point of fact he was deity. But it's this controversy now that is going to occupy many chapters in John, namely, what do the people do with a miracle worker who does such things as break the Sabbath? But now back to the man. The man himself has no idea as to who it is who healed him. You see, it says in verse 12, they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk?" They weren't so concerned about him, but they were concerned about a person who had the nerve to actually tell somebody to break the Sabbath by doing this. The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into a crowd and was there. Could I just say parenthetically that Jesus did miracles in many different ways in the New Testament? In some instances, it says, and he could not do a great miracle there because of their unbelief. Or he put some stipulation, if you believe, you shall be healed. In this instance, he sovereignly chose the man, the one among the many, because there were others that were there at the pool. And he looked upon him and commanded him to walk and gave the man the ability to believe and to actually stand up and try to walk. And then the miracle happened. It was just a sovereign work of Christ. In fact, so sovereign that the man didn't even know who Jesus was. He had no idea who had done this miracle. Verse 14, later Jesus found him at the temple and said, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." And then you see the man found out who did the miracle and he went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Wow, what a statement Jesus is making. First of all, he says, "Stop sinning." You know that there are some instances in the Bible, maybe not many, but some instances where a person's physical ailment is actually because of sin, and this may well be one of them. What Jesus is saying is, you know the sin that you committed that led to your infirmity, and you had better stop that sin because you could fall again. Just because you've been healed doesn't mean that you couldn't be back at the pool of Bethesda as an invalid. It might happen to you. Take heed. This is serious business. Stop sinning.
This is Pastor Lutzer. This wonderful story that occurs in the Gospel of John reminds us definitely of the sovereignty of Christ, as I pointed out in the message. Jesus chose this man, perhaps even as an example of the nation Israel that was impotent, beside water, but unable to help itself. And yet here's Jesus speaking a word to this man and granting him physical life, and later on also spiritual life, as the rest of the story unfolds. This explains, by the way, why sometimes, even in families where there's been so much heartache, when it's the kind of dysfunctional situation that we, humanly speaking, would never expect someone to be able to arise and to be blessed in that context. And yet it happens because God graciously reaches down and delivers those who are in need.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Jesus, Lord of Our Impossibilities, his fourth message in a series on seven convincing miracles. Next time, we'll take home the key principles from a great miracle at the Pool of Bethesda. This series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about seven convincing miracles when you write or call. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.